Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Give us a wave. Thank you. Getting waves at the front, but not at the back. Thank you. Just a few notices to kick us off before I hand over to John. In fact, delighted to welcome John Hardwick again. John's been supporting our church, doing Kate's maternity leave, with leading some of our all-age services, and I know that people have really enjoyed them, and I've really enjoyed them. So I share an office with John, as I've mentioned before, so we work together, and have worked together quite closely on lots of things. I'm going to hand over to John. Let's give him a big welcome from Cottenham.
I don't normally get that. Thank you. It's nice to be here. Isn't it good to be here?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it good again because that just wasn't good enough. Isn't it good to be here today?
Yeah.
Don't you think it's an honour to be here today? I think it is. You see, people have been coming to this church for, I don't know how old the church is, but probably well over 100 years. Yeah, well over 100 years. To worship and praise God. I wonder if somebody was to ask you, what is the most important word in the English language? I wonder what you may say. What would you say? The most important word in the English language? Food. Now, what is the most important word in the English language? Any ideas? I'll give you a clue. This is what I think. It starts with, it has five letters. Any ideas? Yeah. Sorry? Look at that, he got it spot on. I thought Steve was going to say Steve. I thought David was going to say David. But Jesus, have we ever thought about that? Are you saying that because that's what people are expecting us to say? Or do we say that because we really, really believe it? Do we really believe it? The greatest word in the English language is Jesus, the greatest name in the universe, not just on earth, but in the whole universe, is the name Jesus. Who said, I'm the way? Yeah, so this is a bit of a song, actually. We're going to lead into this in a second. But who said, I'm the way? And then we go, Jesus said, I'm the way. Who said, I'm the truth?
Jesus.
Yeah, I can't hear you, though.
Jesus.
Who said, I'm the life?
Jesus.
Whoever follows me. So we're going to start with a song, which I think a lot of you know already. Hopefully you do. Great, if you'd like to sit down. But not for long. But I can see some of you a bit tired after all that standing. But I was at a conference yesterday. I'm part of an organisation that supports my work, which is called Counties Evangelists. And they've been going for well over 100 years. They used to have caravans. Old caravans used to sort of pulled by horses. And they used to have preach in the open air like that and have tent campaigns and things like that. Nowadays, we do rap music and all kinds of things. But at the conference yesterday, the whole strapline for counties, the whole sort of title, what their aim is make Jesus known. And I heard so many different people, men, women, standing up saying, we have a band and we go onto the streets and we've set up a stadium or platform and we do rap music in order to declare the name of Jesus in the open air. And we see young people becoming Christians on the street. And you're going, awesome. Somebody else says, we've got a shop and we invite people in. And we're there to listen to them, but we're also there to share the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And then there's the speaker yesterday was the national leader of Youth for Christ. And he was declaring that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Wow, and it's just really inspiring to be there. There was another guy who set up a market stall in order to reach people out on the streets in order to share the name of Jesus and declare that. They were excited and passionate about Jesus. They've given up their lives to follow him. They've even given up, these guys were full time, they've given up their careers to follow Jesus. And I just came away thinking, yeah. You can forget sometimes how exciting it is to follow Jesus. I wonder, how do we really believe in Jesus? Do we really believe that he is the Son of God? I wonder if we do. So we're going to stand and sing this quite old song now, but it's quite a good one. It's a brilliant one, actually. But if you don't know this, you'll soon pick it up. I believe in Jesus. I wonder whether you can really say this for you, or whether you just come along because, it's somewhere to come on a Sunday, or maybe your parents say, come on, do you really believe in Jesus, the Son of God? Let's stand and let's sing this song together. The last time I was here, I did a whole theme of the fact that he is coming, because it was just before Christmas. And I did a poem review, and I thought it'd be good to do this again, so to remind us that he is coming. Jesus 700 years before Jesus was born, they were saying, he is on his way. He is on his way. He is coming. So can you remember this? It goes like this. He's coming. And then you go, who's coming? He's coming. Who's coming? And then we go, the rescuer, the boss, the king. So let's make sure we're listening. So can you do this with me? Are you ready? Say yes, John. Yes, God. Because you're not looking sure. But you can do this, I'm sure. It's not that hard. So let's try this. So it goes, he's coming. Who's coming? He's coming. Who's coming? The rescuer, the boss, the king. So let's make sure we're listening. He's coming. Who's coming? He's coming. Who's coming? The rescuer, the boss, the king. So let's make sure we're listening. Some people say our story starts when the world began. It was dark, then light, then animals. Then God created man and woman. But we messed up. Surprise, surprise. And all started to fight. So God sent his messengers, his people, to start to put things right. And they all started to say something like this. That somebody special was coming. He's coming. Who's coming? He's coming. Who's coming? The rescuer, the boss, the king. Let's make sure we're listening. He's coming. Who's coming? He's coming. He's coming. Who's coming? The rescuer, the boss, the king. So let's make sure we're listening. Then one day a man appeared. He ate locusts. Yum, yum. Dipped in honey. His coat was made of camel hair. I suppose he looked quite funny. But everybody listened when he said, the time has come. You must say sorry to God and get ready to meet his son. His name was John the Baptist. And guess what he didn't say? He did not say he's coming. He said, he's here. Who's here? He's here. Who's here? The rescuer, the boss, the king. So let's make sure we're listening. He's here. Who's here? He's here. Who's here? The rescuer, the boss, the king. So let's make sure we're listening. Then Mother Mary said, it's true. God's son has come for me and you, bringing hope. What's hope again? Oh, yeah, hope. I can't remember it now. Bringing joy. He's come through me. Yep, that's my boy. And she also said, he's here. Who's here? He's here. Who's here? The rescuer, the boss, the king. So let's make sure we're listening. He's here. Who's here? He's here. Who's here? The rescuer, the boss, the king. So let's make sure we're listening. Down the ages, Christians say, make sure you don't miss out. God has sent his rescuer to set us free from fear and doubt. Jesus is the light of the world. He's showing us the way. Advent is the time we remember he's coming. Christmas is the time we remember he's here. Who's here? He's here. Who's here? The rescuer, boss, the king. So let's make sure we're listening. Isn't that awesome? He's here. He has arrived. He's here today. Did you hear that song? Do you believe he's here? He is. I'm just getting more and more excited because so often I go into schools and when I start to do their RE day, they say, we've got John Hardwick, he'd come to do an RE day. And the children go. And at the end of the day, guess what they're doing? He's here. Who's here? And suddenly they become excited by the fact that actually there's a God who loves them and that he actually sent Jesus. Isn't that awesome? I think it is. So I think it's very exciting indeed. But what was Jesus like when he came? Actually, we're not the only generation who believe this, you know. We've been believing this for years. And I'm having opportunities at the moment. I'm trying to develop more of these opportunities where I'm going into hotels sometimes to be the entertainer for old people's sort of gatherings. It's great, you know, it really is. But I've done it with the retired co-op group, went into a very grand hotel. I actually had to dress up, put a suit on and a tie and try and look smart. And but I go in as an entertainer and I sing that old time songs as an entertainer. But then I also say, I'm actually a Christian, I'm a children's worker. I'm going to start to juggle for them. And thankfully they seem to like that. And then I say, I'm actually a Christian worker, children's worker. I do a Bible story with them, which they seem to enjoy. And then I say, I'm actually a modern Sunday school songwriter, but let's not do one of mine. Let's do an old Sunday school song. Because that last generation, they all went to Sunday school, almost all of them. And many of them then, many carried on coming to church, but many didn't. They lived their lives away from God. They drifted away. But what a wonderful opportunity towards the end of some of these people's lives. Some of them over 100. Who come to these events, to be able to remind them of these songs that they learnt as children. And also, I've got a CD with those on, but I'll mention that in a minute. It's coming. It's worth waiting for. But these songs were written well over 100 years ago. You know, I would be delighted that if in 100 years' time, if people took my songs and rewrote them or recorded them again. That would be awesome. Is it coming, John?
I wonder what is important, though. Jesus came, but what's important? Why did Jesus come? What is special to Jesus? If I was to ask you what is precious, what is special to you, I wonder what you may say. If I was asked you to bring along a bag full of things that are precious to you, I wonder what you might have inside your bag. I brought along one or two things inside my bag which are precious to me, or at least used to be. And here's the first one. Here he is. This is my Ted. This is my Ted. I have got a photo somewhere at home. I can't find it, which is frustrating. Of me in a black pram. I didn't realise I was that old, but I was in a pram with a Ted. And this is him. As a little baby, this is my Ted. Who's brought the teddy along today? Just me then, is it? Yeah, but you know what? When I was growing up, apparently when I was a little toddler, I used to go shopping with Ted. Come on, Ted, let's go shopping. I used to love my Ted. I used to throw him and catch him, and I love my Ted. Now I'm a man. And apart from this morning, it's very rare that I go anywhere with Ted. Come on, Ted, let's go to church. So you see, Ted used to be precious. Who's got a Ted? Who's got a cuddly toy? Yeah, do you love your cuddly toy? Come on, I know secretly at home, my son, he's not here, so I'm allowed to say this, but don't tell him that I grassed him up. He's still got his cuddly toys on his bed. He's almost 13. He loves them. He does. He wouldn't say that he takes it to bed with him, but he's still got them on his bed. He loves his cuddly toys. Well, he used to be precious, but to be honest, don't tell him this. I just, so he can't hear. He's not that precious anymore. Well, he is actually, but he doesn't come around with me. Do you see what I'm saying? I've grown up a little bit. I almost said I had to Ted. Ah! But he's not so precious. He's not cool for a man to walk around carrying a Ted. But it's okay for the little children. Honestly, it is. And for the whoever. So who can look after my Ted for me? Can somebody? Oh, thank you. I do want him back though, because although I said he's not so precious anymore, he's still very precious. Can you look after him for me? Catch. Ah! Oh, don't drop him. That's my Ted you almost dropped. You see, I started to grow out of Ted. I started to grow up, you see. And I started to get into... Here they are. I started to get into cars. Yeah, toy cars. Can you see how battered they are? These are some of my cars from my childhood, from when I was around 5, 6 or 7, or maybe 3, or I'm no idea, probably 13 or 14, actually, knowing me. But this is when my mum and dad realised there was something very different about me. Who likes cars? Who likes toys? Who likes cars? The guys kept their hands down. Let's say it again. Who likes cars? The men. Yeah, and the ladies, of course. But we polish our cars. We wash our cars. We look after our cars. We love our cars. Not me personally. Mine's just a good workhorse that gets me from A to B. But when I was young, I used to love cars. This is when my mum realised I was very different. John, you're meant to be pushing them around. Oops, just had a car crash. Yeah. You're meant to be pushing them around. What for? Much better fun actually juggling them. Yeah. But who's got toys and cars? So who's got a teddy bear or a cuddly toy? A cuddly toy's precious, but also toys are precious, aren't they? Yeah? I started to grow up a little bit more. What is precious to you? What is important to you? And I started to get into art. Who likes art? Yes? Well, I brought along some of my pictures. Would you like to see my pictures? Some of you have seen my pictures before. I know you were very impressed with my pictures. Here are my pictures. Do you like my pictures? Shall I show you my favourite one? It's this one. Took me ages to draw that one. Do you like it? What do you mean, no? It's very rude.
I like it.
You like it, good. You do? It's gone. Okay, we're gonna have to get my pictures back quickly, so can you help me get out your finger, pretend it's a pencil to sharpen it? And draw pictures on the book. Give me a cha-la-la-la-la-la. I didn't hear the cha-la-la. Lovely, it's amazing what you can get people. David, you didn't do it. Because you didn't do it, we're just going to wait for you. Thank you. Now you're worried, aren't you? Yeah, yes, but yes, with a bit of a cha-la-la and a bit of good spirit, look what you can do! Yes, that's better. But I think they would be much better if they were painted in, so splash on the book. Splash some paint on the book. Not on me, look you. Thank you. Anyway, let's have a look. Yes, well done. With Davy's help, we managed to do it. Look, so art. Who likes art?
Art is precious. Some of you are going, depends on the picture really, but art is precious. And once again, there's my favourite one. Okay, who rubbed them out? I might have guessed. Yeah. With David's help, we've got them back. Yes, thank goodness for that. But art's precious. So who's got a cuddly toy? Who's got toys? Or cars? Who likes art? All of these things are precious to me. What about you? What about this one? Who likes music? Yes, when I was young, I wanted to learn an instrument, so I learned the tuba. And it took me years to learn the tuba. Here it is. I'll play you a song. Music takes a lot of dedication and a lot of pain sometimes, but I'll play a tune. You see if you can name the tune. Are you ready? It's not working properly. It's not me. It's the instrument. That was me hitting high note. What's the song? Tuba? That's not a song, but it is a tuba. What's the song? Twink? Yeah, exactly! Fantastic! See, we've got a musician here, she knows. I'll pay you later. Thank you. But music's important, isn't it? Music's precious, isn't it? Is music precious to you? Put your hands up if you think it is. Yes. Yes, it is. There's all kinds of different music. But I started to grow up a little bit more. Oh, I always found this was very handy. I know it gets a cheap joke, but it works. Okay, let's see what else I've got in here. Yes, I started to grow up and I started to get into tennis. Who likes sport? Yes, yes, because when I say tennis, I'm sure a lot of you have seen this before many times, but when I say tennis, this is what I mean by tennis. I'm actually useless at tennis, I must admit. Table tennis, I like table tennis, but with tennis, it was just too much of a temptation to spin the racket, so I never really learned how to play tennis. Yes, great fun, oops. Woohoo! Fun, isn't it? But who likes sport? Yes? Sport's precious, sport's valuable. Yes, I wonder what is. Oh, stop. Ah! All of these things are precious to me. And as I was growing up, I got into more and more different things, but inside my bag, I've got something more precious than anything else. It's my family. No, not literally, I couldn't put them in the bag, they wouldn't like that. But here's a picture of my parents. My parents, that's the day they got married. Very precious to me. And also, of course, my family now, my children and my wife. Very precious, very special. I wonder what you would have in your bag. This is actually a clever way of tidying up. Who would have a teddy? Who would have a teddy? Can I have my teddy back though? Because I'm missing him. Thank you. Who would have a teddy in their bag? Yes. Who would have? Here we are. Who would have something like this, which is very handy? Yes. Who would have a car or some toys in their bag? This is just a very clever way of me not tripping over everything. Who would have music in their bag? Yes, all of these things are precious to us. What about art? Yes, and not forgetting sport. And who would like to put their family... Careful what I say there. But all of these things are precious to me. What's precious to you? What's precious to God? Who is precious to God? Can I read something from the Bible? A little passage from Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. And this is what it says. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? The greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Now that was Paul saying that, and I don't really think that he thought that his family and his friends were rubbish, but he had met somebody very, very special, and this person completely changed Saul's life. Saul became Paul. And so he said, compared to Jesus, these things, they're rubbish. I think that's a bit of a strong word, personally, but compared to Jesus, isn't it? It's a surpassing greatness. They're nothing compared to him. All these things come and they go, but Jesus will be with him forever if we believe in him. I brought along a friend of mine, a very wise monkey. Now, often Charlie is a bit crazy, really, but today I have asked him to be quite sensible because I'm going to ask him quite a serious question. You've met Charlie, haven't you? You've met Charlie, you know who exactly... says, that's amazing. Last time he came here, you were sitting there. Have you been sitting there ever since? When did you go to the toilet? Trolley? No, they haven't been sitting there ever since. Okay. Charlie, you in church? You're going to behave? Charlie, you know, we know that you can be very silly sometimes. Never. He's always sensible, isn't he? He says, oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, no, you're not, Charlie. You're a fine one to talk. Thanks. But, Charlie, today I'm going to ask you a very serious question, and I'd like a serious answer. Is that okay? You'll do your best. So, Charlie, we're talking about values today and what God values and what we value. Charlie, what do you value? What is, in the whole world, what is the most important thing to you? Think about it. Bananas. You didn't even think about that. Come on, Charlie, think more carefully. You like bananas. Yes, but Charlie, surely in life there's got to be something more important than bananas. Big bananas. Charlie, just try and think about it. Think carefully. You got it. Charlie, good. So what is the most important thing, Charlie? What is the most precious, the most valuable thing to you? The greengrocers. The greengrocers. And why are the greengrocers so important to you? Because they sell bananas. Yes, but Charlie, try and think of something else. Apart from the greengrocers and bananas, surely there's something more important in life than bananas. Tesco's the supermarket. Why, Charlie? When the greengrocers are closed, Tesco's are always open. And guess what they sell?
Bananas!
Charlie, surely in your life there is something more precious, something more important than just jolly bananas. He likes bananas. They're good for you. They're good for stress. Give me a banana, quick. Cheek. But yes, they are good for you. But Charlie, there's more in life than just bananas. Come on, Charlie, think carefully. You got it. Yes, Charlie, what is it? Africa. Good. Charlie is an African monkey. Yes, so you're thinking about, because he used to live there, Charlie, you're thinking about your family and your friends back in Africa? They grow bananas! Charlie, please, one more chance. Look, surely there is something in life more important than bananas. Think carefully. You got it. Good, we're waiting.
Oh, that's so sweet. Guess what he said? He said me. Charlie, that's so nice. That's really touched me. So, Charlie, why? Why am I so precious? Why am I so important to you?
Because you're the biggest banana ever. Charlie, that wasn't funny. What do you mean it was very funny? Cheek. But actually, let's give him a round of applause anyway, because obviously not going to get a sensible answer out of him. But you know, down in your bag, Charlie, a lot of people, though, they would say, they may not say, just get in. Yeah, in your bag. You go in the bag. Sure bag, I wouldn't fit. Yeah, it's got a banana in there.
Ah!
It's gone. Yeah, works every time. But you know, you may say, well, that's silly. Obviously, there's more important things in life than bananas. But other people say, what's the most important thing? And they go, football, football, football. When I was young, it would have been table tennis, table tennis, table tennis. Because I love table tennis. I became a champ. But I'm useless now because I haven't played. Because it suddenly dawned on me once, yes, I enjoy the sport, but actually at the end of the day I'm knocking a ball back and forth. Surely there's something more important in life than table tennis. Isn't that true? What is life really all about? There was a guy in the Bible, and if you'd have gone up to him and said, what is the most precious, what is the most important, what is the most valuable to you, thing to you, he'd have said that. And you'd have, not the door, but you'd have seen this lake, the sea, and it was a beautiful sea, it was the Sea of Galilee. And he said, isn't that wonderful? That's my home. That's where I work. This is where I live. His home was precious to him. And you say, okay, brilliant. So your home, where you work is precious. What else? And he'd say this, and you see this boat. And it wasn't a cruise liner, it wasn't a speedboat, it was just a little fishing boat. He said, that's precious. How is his job? You see, he was a fisherman. And you say, okay, so your where you live is important. Your job is important. What else is important to you? And you see these big, tough guys. Those guys. Those are my fisherman's friends. His friends were important to him.
And you say, what else? And he said, of course, my family. All of those things that are precious to us today were precious to this man all those years ago. His name was Simon, Simon Peter, and he's a fisherman. And it says that every night they used to go fishing at night. Apparently, the lake was shallow. And if you went fishing in the day, apparently, the fish weren't stupid. They'd see you coming, so they'd swim off. So they often used to go swimming at night, fishing at night. So this particular night, they took the nets out, they took the boats over, they threw the nets over, and they fished all night. But it says, on this occasion, they fished all night, but caught absolutely nothing. Look at that, I didn't even have to say it. And you knew it. How cool is that? I even do that in schools. And they haven't even heard the story before, a lot of them. And they still get it right. But they fished all night and caught absolutely nothing. But Simon Peter was a professional fisherman. So he took the boat over there. He threw the nets over. Yeah, fishy, fishy, fishy. But once again, he caught absolutely nothing. But he wasn't giving up. He fished all night for the night. And so the sun began to rise. It was a brand new day. And at the end of the night, they caught absolutely nothing. They pulled the boat up onto the seashore, and I can imagine they were sitting in the boat having to clean and mend the nets. They couldn't go home yet. Their job wasn't over. Their day's work or the night's work wasn't finished. And I can imagine them sitting there going, fished all night.
Yep.
Caught absolutely.
Yep.
But suddenly they noticed someone walking along the seashore. Oh, look, I can see someone walking along the seashore. And this guy was getting closer. Oh, look, he's getting closer. And this man was being followed by a huge crowd of people. Can you picture this? So I imagine these guys on the boat saying, have you ever been in a crowd of people and you can get pushed along quite easily? And I can imagine these guys going, if he's not careful, he's going to get pushed in. He's going to get soggy feet. And it was actually Jesus, just in case you haven't guessed. And he thought to himself, if I'm not careful, I'm going to have to walk around on the sea before my time. And then he suddenly saw the guys on the boat. And he jumped onto their boat. He's jumped onto our boat. And he says, hey, they knew who he was. They didn't really mind. And he said, guys, can I borrow your boat? Yes, but Jesus, we fished all night. We caught absolutely But seeing it's you, Jesus said, I don't want to go fishing, not now anyway. I want to talk. See this crowd of people? I want to talk to them. So he got the crowd. Can you picture this? He got the crowd to sit down on the seashore. And then Jesus, in the boat, started to speak to the crowd. And these guys in the boat, these fishermen, thought, this is brilliant. We can carry on cleaning and mending the nets and listen to Jesus all at the same time. How awesome is this? And sometimes Jesus made the people laugh, and sometimes he made them almost cry. When listening to Jesus was so captivating, he didn't lose anybody's attention, I'm sure. They loved listening to him. Sometimes he made them really think, ping! Anyway, eventually Jesus sent the crowds home, and he said to the guys on the boat, hey guys, let's go fishing. And I can imagine Simon going, oh Jesus, we fished all night, we caught absolutely. But seeing it's you, we'll go fishing. And they pushed the boat out into the lake. And I can imagine Simon, this professional fisherman, saying to his mates, so what does this Jesus do? What's his job? He's a carpenter. So he knows nothing about fishing then.
No.
And Jesus says, hey guys, why don't you throw the nets over here? And I can imagine Simon Peter thinking, oh, this is a bit of a waste of time, but seeing it's you, Jesus, we'll do it. And they took the nets and they threw the nets over. And oh my word, there were so many fish, it was pulling the boats over. Simon Peter was panicking, help! Oh, look, there's Simon Peter, he's waving, hello. They all took their boats out, they all threw their nets over, and they all caught more fish than they'd ever caught in a single catch before. And Simon, whose name later became Peter, he fell on his knees in front of Jesus. And this is what I would have said. I'd have said, Jesus, you can come fish with me every day. I'll be rich. But that's not what Simon said. He said, Jesus, get away from me. Because I'm a sinner. I'm no good. I'm a fisherman. I get things wrong. You don't want me. I'm just a bloke who messes things up. And if I was Jesus, I'd have said, yeah, I know. You're the last person I want. You're the sort of guy who would say something like this, I'll fight for you, I'll die for you, but when I really need you, you'll run off and leave me. I know what you're like. You're the sort of guy who one minute you're going to say something really, really good, and the next minute you're well and truly going to put your foot in it and say something stupid. I don't want you. That's what I might have said if I was Jesus, if I knew what Jesus knew. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, Simon, come and follow me, because from now on, you're going to catch men. That didn't mean he was going to get a big net and go, let's go get him. Yeah, Jesus, we caught one. It meant that Jesus, the one, he's coming. Who's coming? He's coming. Who's coming? The rescuer, the boss, the king. So let's make sure we're listening. This same Jesus who'd been promised for all these years, for all these centuries, right down time, had come and he'd chosen a fisherman. Don't you think that's awesome? Incredible. And you know, Simon Peter, if you'd have said to him, what's precious to you? He'd have said, the lake. What else is important? He'd have said, my home, my job, my mates, my fisherman friends, my family. All of those things are precious. I've just caught more fish than I've ever caught in my life. These are precious. But you know what it says? What happened? Immediately, without any hesitation, he chose to follow Jesus. Those things were just as precious as before. But now he had met the one who's coming. He's here. Who's here? He's here. Who's here? The rescuer, the boss, the king. And Simon had met him. And he just had to follow him. He had to find out more about him. And his life changed. He ended up becoming Peter, which means rock. He was the one on whom Jesus built his church. He chose an ordinary guy who messed things up terribly. God chooses people like that. This beautiful thing about this event yesterday, this county's thing, there was a guy there. There's lots of different stories going around, but this one guy shared his story. I knew his story before. He's a guy called Clive, and he grew up in South Wales, and he ended up without a job, and he used to get drunk. He was a teenager on the streets, and he used to get drunk, and he got into all kinds of trouble, and he ended up in prison. And his life had no—he had no job. His life had no purpose and no hope at all, and it was just going downhill drastically. And then he said a Christian came along and started to talk about this man called Jesus, and gradually, this Clive started to think, "There's something in this. There's something in this." And he started to explore what it meant to be a Christian. And this man kept coming back and teaching him and training him until eventually Clive said, I met him. I met him too. I met Jesus. And do you know what he does now? He carries an 8-foot cross and he walks through the streets of Wales. And when people say, why on earth are you carrying that cross? Especially guys on the street, he said, because that used to be me. It wasn't that long ago that I sat there drinking too much, getting into all kinds of trouble. My life had no hope and no purpose. But then I met Jesus. And this is only a few years ago. Simon Peter's life was changed by Jesus, who's alive and real. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know that Jesus. But whether you've known him for years or whether you don't know him at all, maybe today's the time to say, I want to know more. I want to follow you more. I want to get to know you more. The name, the greatest word in the whole universe, the greatest name in the whole universe is J-E-S-U-S. I wonder where you are today. You know, I'm going to finish by singing a song which is going back a bit, but it's okay, it's a really good song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our needs. I need the words for it because I haven't done it for a while. But shall we stand and sing this wonderful hymn? Let's just pray together. Father God, we do thank you that you sent Jesus, that Jesus, you came from heaven to earth to show the way. Who said, I'm the way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth and the life. Whoever follows me will, I can't even think of it at the moment, but thank you for this wonderful promise, that wonderful promise that you are with us. Thank you for the story about Simon Peter, who chose to follow you. Thank you for the story about Clive, who's got his life into a mess, and yet he found hope in you. Thank you that you are still changing people's lives. Help us to realise that the most important word, the most important person in the universe is Jesus. Help us to choose to follow you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind. Amen. Thank you. Well, let's just say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.